It's all very touching, but this is no time to reminisce. We have to be at the rendezvous point in 7 hours, or else we miss our pickup. It's your show, hero.
Let's move out.
Follow me. We're late. I know a shortcut.
The meat's smoking.
Shut up.
No. Let's take it off the grill.
Now, leave me alone, would you?
Frank, you're drunk again.
Oh, yeah? Whose fault is that?
This is the best way to the prison compound. They're used to seeing fishing boats, so they won't be suspicious. There are clothes in the wheelhouse.
Somebody once wrote, "Hell is the impossibility of reason." That's what this place feels like, hell. I hate it already, and it's only been a few hours. I'm so tired. We get up at 5 a.m.
At first, I thought they'd handed me the wrong dossier. I couldn't believe they wanted this man dead. Third generation West Point, top of his class, Korea, airborne, about 1,000 decorations, etc., etc.
I loved you in Wall Street!
You have landed on The Substance, but this is not a typical episode. We are typically a podcast aimed at being biblical, thoughtful, and human, where every other week we engage the culture without the culture war. But today is April Fool's Day. We wanted to have a little fun and put out an episode that's a bit of a companion. If you're familiar with the show, we have a lot of substantive cinema episodes where we cover movies of substance. Sometimes they have explicitly spiritual or religious themes. Sometimes they are genre movies that are subversively dealing with very real stuff. But today, since it is April Fool's Day, we are getting silly with it and covering Hot Shots Part 2. This was so fun. If you're not familiar with the Hot Shots movies, they're in the same school as the Naked Guns and the Airplanes. These are the spoof movies where they're just filled with gags and jokes, like really silly stuff. They're basically live action cartoons. And this is one that might be my favorite. So this was a lot of fun to revisit again. It's kind of ostensibly a riff on the Rambo First Blood movies, where Charlie Sheen is playing that kind of character, going on a mission to rescue some guys. And it's just insane silliness after insane silliness. And I was really excited for this because I get to sit down with my internet pal, Dale. Dale is the host of the Bat and Spider podcast, and we're in a couple of movie podcast discords together. And he's been doing his own show for a while. He's had previous shows. He's just somebody that I've enjoyed engaging with. And when I was deciding, okay, like, what should we do for April Fools? Do we want to do an unsubstantive cinema? I was looking through a couple different movies on Letterboxd to see which friends of mine rated certain things certain ways. And when I saw that Dale rated both the first and the second Hot Shots movie very highly, I was like, oh, I need to reach out to him. I reached out and he was into it. So we had a great conversation. It was a lot of fun reminiscing, going back over these movies, the 90s comedies in general, and just to see how impressive it was that these movies were simultaneously just completely silly. These are dumb movies, but how impressively they were put together in the joke writing and just how all the departments came together and just packed so many gags, so much fun, so much silliness into a 90-minute movie. So I hope you guys enjoy this as much as Dale and I did, but here is our conversation on Hot Shots Part 2. Welcome to The Substance, man. It's good to have you.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate the invite. I'm humbled. I mean, it's just, well, it's just Dale.
Dale, I've enjoyed your show. I've enjoyed chatting with you in various movie discords. I've enjoyed reading your Letterboxd reviews. And when I was like, all right, what do we want to do this year for April Fools? And I was looking at a couple different options. And then I saw 5 stars for Hot Shots, 4.5 for Part Due. I was like, ooh, I'm going to hit Dale up and let's talk some Hot Shots this year.
I was kind of blown away. You know, I don't think there's anything more I would want to do than talk about Hot Shots on a podcast because, you know, who's going to talk about Hot Shots on a podcast? Well, now I know.
I'm just getting overwhelmed. I love these movies so much. And I was reading one of your reviews and I just like that. Yep. That's my experience. Like when I turn on these movies, I'm just transported back to junior high, watching these over and over and over, staying up all night with my friends. Like we were playing video games at the time, but we were doing a ton of movies, and the 2 Hot Shots movies were on heavy rotation. What's your background with the Hot Shots movies?
So this came out in 93, right? 93. I would have been 12 or 13. And between the ages of like 9 and 13, I was renting movies a lot. I was going to Video Express and West Coast Video. My mom would take me and
you're a West Coast Video guy.
Yeah. Originally, West Coast wasn't there. It was Video Express, which is like a local mom and pop deal. And West Coast came in and I was like, oh, look at this. I mean, this is clean. Take me to West Coast. And Blockbuster wasn't even a thing in South Jersey where I was. So
man,
I was
miss
West Coast.
Friggin' video stores.
Yeah, it's upsetting. There's a person in our Bat and Spider Discord. They go to Scarecrow Video up in like Seattle. That sounds like an amazing experience. It's just it's recreating the video store, Scarecrow Video, it's called. So if you're in Seattle, go there. But I miss it. Like I would go and I would just rent the crap out of things. I would rent the crap out of, you know, Summer School with like Mark Harmon. I would rent Hot Shots Part Due, Naked Gun movies. Like I remember repeatedly renting Hot Shots.
What a wonderful period of time too. Like I was just thinking this week as I was just getting giddy thinking about talking about this with you. And I was just like, man, like the 80s and through like the mid 90s, the good parody. I mean, you had your terrible 2000s of like your disaster movie and epic movie and blah, blah, blah movie. Mm-hmm. Like in the wake of Scary Movie, like there were 2.5 good scary movies and then terrible fill in the blank movies. But like the 80s and the early 90s, these movies were just like just a treasure trove of joy.
It's astounding how they burned white. I mean, as a kid, they burned white hot for us, right? Because they released more than just Hot Shots.
They did.
They released more than just Naked Gun. There was 3 Naked Guns.
Spy and they're about Hard. To reboot it with Liam Neeson.
Jeez, that's right. Spy Hard was pretty good. Lethal Weapon 1 Loaded Weapon 1.
Yeah.
God, there was a plethora and none of them were super bad. I remember Dracula Dead and Loving It probably being like the very tail end.
Yeah, that was a little silly. And the 2001 parody was not great. I forgot what that was called. That was not great. But that was also on the tail end.
Yeah,
Space Travesty, like, whatever that was.
God, do I remember that? But you know, I loved the fact that if I didn't see anything I wanted at the video store or if it was out, I would just rent Hot Shots again. You know, like, and I was perfectly fine with that. I wasn't pouty or I wasn't looking for something new to watch, like in the old videos or something. I was just like, let's just go to Hot Shots again, Hot Shots Part Due. And the parody movies then, like and rewatching it today to do the show, just because, you know, I remember it when I watched it 2 years ago, but I don't remember it. And
it's like putting on a favorite album. Like every time a joke cues up, you're like, yep, here it comes.
Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, there's always something new that you never saw before. And you really got to pay attention in Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part Due and the Naked Gun movie.
Chock full of detail.
There's so much visual comedy, like props, stupid things that if you're not paying attention, if you look away, I love that it's just, they're not just, I don't want to say they're throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks because it's like all planned. But, you know, I was thinking today,
but
like
it's just a shotgun of nonstop.
Oh, it's nonstop, and everybody's involved. I'm thinking today I'm watching like Charlie Sheen on act in this movie, right? But he doesn't know like the set dressers and the prop makers and what they're doing to the set behind him. He's probably not even paying attention, but like 25 to 30% of the movie is like this stupid
background jokes. Yeah.
It's all background jokes. That's like a light, like a plate of a light switch or a lava lamp, like in the middle of this, you know,
or anytime you're in a house, like all of the brands have funny names, like an old, like Mad Magazine cartoon, like all of like everything is a joke.
Yeah. And I just love the attention to detail and what they did for their audience. I love it. And that's not even true. And maybe you want to say that for like when Scary Movie came out and like reignited that
no, I mean,
genre.
It was fun when I was young. I don't think if I put it on now, I would laugh all that much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I rewatched, I think, Scary Movie and Scary Movie 2 over the pandemic. Scary Movie didn't hit as hard as it used to. Scary Movie 2 is like one of my all-time faves, but
I feel like 2 and 3 have the most like laughs.
Mm-hmm. But also
3, like, is a weird balancing act. Was that the one that went PG-13?
I think so.
Either 3 or 4 started the... And, like, that's fine, whatever. Like, it doesn't need to be filthy, but, like, it got, like, a step... It was flirting with the, like, cartoony in a not good way. Like, yeah. Cartoony that, like, was the epic movies and the Meet the Spartans. Like, it was kind of opening the door for the trash parody stuff.
Yeah. But also what I wanted to say was it didn't the movie wasn't the entire picture. It wasn't the props in the background. It wasn't the goofy brands. It wasn't like it wasn't any of that. Whereas Naked Gun and Hot Shots, it's just like everything on the screen. It's like a Where's Waldo of you need to pay attention to every corner of this screen because there's gold here. When the actors are and are not talking, there is gold anywhere you look. And I just love that they just took care of their audience in that manner. Like, I think even more so than in Airplane and stuff. Like, they really leaned into it in the 80s and 90s.
And they were written so well. Like, everybody was on the top of their game. So I don't want to be super technical, but you talked about Burning White Hot. I was curious, did a little research. So, Dale, I don't know if you did. You looked into numbers at all. What do you imagine that the first Hot Shots did box office wise in 1991?
In 1991, total box office?
Oh, total box. And so this was also, like, looking at these numbers, they're shocking. Don't go like too crazy high, but like they were shocking numbers, but it also reminded me, it made me a little sad. This was back before like ubiquitous lowercase c content. And like the movies were a thing that people did. Like everybody went to the movies. And if a movie was good, you'd go back because each studio put out like, I don't know, 10 to 15 movies a year. Like a movie could play for 8 months and not like have crazy drop offs. Like movies had much more than 2 to 3 weeks back in the day.
Yeah, right. I would say the Hot Shots Part 1, 55 million. Is that
$181 million dollars?
That's amazing.
Adjusted for inflation, $414 million in today's dollars.
That is a return on investment right there.
That's a comedy. That is a comedy.
That's kind of that's absurd.
Like if a movie made $180 million now, a comedy, people would be losing their minds.
Yeah. Oh my God. They'd be like, we paid nothing to make this movie, and look at $180 million in today. That is impressive.
I was flabbergasted. And then the sequel made like $134. Part 2 made $134 million.
Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing. Like the draw. Wow. I love it. I love them even more now.
I wish I could have seen that in the theater. I was far too young.
I think I saw Spy Hard in the theaters, but maybe...
Underrated. That's a really underrated one. Like, love completely. Airplane. For me, like, the Hot Shots movies are my favorite of them all. I love Airplane. I love Spy Hard. For some reason, I really did like Wrongfully Accused. Or no, not Spy Hard. Spy Hard was fine. I loved Top Secret.
Oh, Top Secret, the movie. I mean, I am like Googling all these bad boys here.
I kind of want to go back and like,
right?
Revisiting this, I kind of wanted to go back and see it. But like, so it made so much money, and maybe we'll talk about some of this, but this is the goofy episode of unsubstantive cinema here. But I was just also kind of stunned just thinking about the movie going audience at the time. Hot Shots Part 2 came out. Like, you had, what do I want to call it? Like, cinematic, just the cinematic literacy of the general audience. Like, you had spoofs and riffs on like Casablanca and the Adventures of Robin Hood in the same thing where you have Hunt for Red October and Rambo and RoboCop and Apocalypse Now, like, and Lady and the Tramp and The Jungle Book. Like, you have such a wide variety of things that some of them, they're just like going.
Dude.
And like the general public are like, oh, Robin Hood. Oh,
yeah.
Like, they're able to have that.
That's an amazing observation, because it's everybody knew. Everybody knows. Everybody knows every like, if one of my kids were watching it with me now, I would be like, oh, this is parodying something.
So that's like what I was thinking. So I thought about that with I thought, I was like, oh, No Way Out. Who today would know No Way Out and what they're parodying? Yeah. Like, who would know that? Like, and maybe hopefully Lady and the Tramp. But I was like, if you show like a 15-year-old movie, like when I was 15, I loved these movies. I mean, I loved these movies when I was like 12. But I was like, if you show like a 15-year-old this movie now, like they might get Rambo. They might get Terminator 2. Wow. They'd get Star Wars. But like, how many of these would they get?
And how
that's
many,
not like, oh, the youth today, but it was just like the time that this came out was so special.
If there was the equivalent today of like a parody movie released today, how much of the jokes would be just pop culture in general? Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, like I'm going to say like the Star Wars kid, the lightsaber kid, like, that was probably a scary movie, but I couldn't think of anything more recent. But like, how much would actually be movies they're parodying and not just, you know,
just
like
concepts.
Shorts on the, yeah, concepts
yeah.
from YouTube shorts or TikTok videos.
No, like, exactly.
It would be
like
all
the
that
culture
now.
Is so diluted.
Blown
not,
out.
Not in a angry old guy kind of way, but like the studio, like everybody make, like there are like hundreds of niches, and like,
yep.
Beyond
yes.
your Dune Part 2s and Avatars and Top Gun Mavericks, not much, maybe Game of Thrones, but like much unites. There's not like a ubiquitous culture. There's a bajillion subcultures.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They couldn't even scrape the big movies and hope that even half the audience would probably pick up on what they
because
were trying
these
to
movies were so distinct and strong. Like with the slippers, you're like, oh, like that's Wizard of Oz, or the sword fight on the stairs, like that's Robin Hood. Like those were so iconic, but like because everybody is watching whatever their content on whatever their platform is, like there isn't like a standard of cinematic literacy for, and I mean, this is Hot Shots, so this isn't anything highfalutin either. This
I know,
is just
right,
like high quality comedy.
God, we're ripping this. We're deep diving on Hot Shots Part 2 here. But you're right, and it's like that's all I can think. All I can think about, like the end of Hot Shots when Topper Harley is like doing the Rocky scene,
yeah,
screaming for Ramona. That's going to be lost. It's lost to the world. You know, it's like, oh man, and I just want to watch.
We're old
Hot Shots now. I know,
I'm
right?
Younger, but like, no, me, like, as I'm like, I'm not that old, but like, genuinely. I wonder if, I mean, it's silly enough. I hope there would be some good, but yeah. And I also felt good, I'll say, rewatching it. I was like, I feel like most of this is still pretty funny. Like,
yeah.
We talked a little bit off air before, comedy sometimes doesn't always age great. There's a little bit here and there, but I feel like for the most part, because it was so silly and so slapstick, that most of the stuff still lands. And the stuff that like, is a little like, maybe that doesn't age well. Like, these people were like being buffoons. It's not like, oh, It's not like old James Bonds where you watch him and cringe.
yeah, absolutely right. I did dance around like, are they stereotyping, you know, like, is this like dancing on territory?
Like terrorists?
That, yeah, exactly. Like, or is that okay? Like when we watched the documentary and the one guy... The one guy who's one of the terrorists, and he's like, I haven't been paid at all. Why is there a problem with this? You know, like, but he was just a guy, you know, he was just a guy playing a terrorist.
So, what you were referencing also, this is something that literally day of recording, mm-hmm. I was just doing some Googling, preparing for the show tonight. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I just mm-hmm. learned that there's a promotional making of documentary like in the spoof style of Hearts of Darkness. So I was like, Dale, I don't know if you know about this, but check this out. So I'll throw a link to that in the show notes.
I need to know.
I thought that was hilarious.
I need to know. It was hilarious that it was made.
Yeah.
Where did it air? Where was
HBO.
It?
HBO.
Oh, it was on HBO.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool that HBO gave it some time to, you know, like to plug the movie, the incoming movie. And I wanted to go back and say, you know, like, it's cool to watch it now because as a 12-year-old, I was picking up on the major references.
Sure, yeah.
But now, you know, now, like, it's not just he's going up the riverboat when he passes his dad.
so but, funny.
But, like, the voiceover work and him writing and stuff, now I know that that's him, you know, like... spoofing Platoon, which is the movie he was in, like, so yeah, like,
he was in Platoon. Martin Sheen was in Apocalypse Now. They're both in Hot Shots making a Wall Street joke, like,
this is
just really intelligent stupidity.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I just, you know, I pride myself on, like, wow, it was
the levels never, of that joke.
Yeah, exactly. And they never stopped.
They started with like a Platoon and an Apocalypse Now joke going at the same time. Wall Street, mm-hmm. it's done. And you're like,
and he's like,
and that's just one
Platoon.
Joke. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's like in the span of like 15 seconds.
He's like quoting Platoon as he's writing to his grandmother, just like in Platoon, you know, it's just phenomenal. And, you know, I think whatever Charlie Sheen's whatever now, but you know, to Oof. he's like at the top of his game and
no
in,
this was
hot
I
shots
mean, this
and he had
and
no
he
fear
got
like
ripped he got ripped
oh yeah
for
oh my god he looked amazing.
I love when I was a kid, man, that I forget if it was Rambo 2 or 3, but like that scene where they're like kickboxing in that like underground fight club deal where he's getting like all the hot fudge like dessert stuff like on his like I love that scene so much when I was a kid. And whenever the colonel, also the guy actually from Rambo,
yeah,
when he's
Richard
got that
Crenna.
Like, pig snout sandwich and all that
oh my
snot comes out. It's so silly, but it still made me smile.
Yeah. It's man, it's so good. I laughed. I cracked up when they showed that scene again in the documentary. I just laughed my ass off when him biting in that snout because it's Richard.
So
I mean, Richard Crenna
sound work on
in the
too.
Rambo. Yeah. Just like, you know, like gives you the willies just to hear what he's biting into. The fact that Charlie Sheen's in Platoon, Richard Crenna's in Rambo. And they're just like, yeah, I'll do this movie. I'll parody myself. You know, it's so good. It goes hard in the first one when Ramada and Topper are like in front of the fridge and it's like sizzling bacon on each other or whatever. But the limo scene in this where they're like rubbing tongues on each other and stuff like that, I was like, this is like borderline right now. I mean, like, was I supposed to be watching this as an 11, 12-year-old?
No. So the first time I watched this, I remember for some reason it aired on Disney's ABC Family. I did not first watch this on HBO or from the library. I was probably like 10, maybe, and it was on ABC Family, and I caught like the last 20-25 minutes, which is like the bombast and the action, and just like the whole movie is rapid fire jokes, but the end is just like full speed ahead. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then I got it from the library And my parents were like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I was oh, this is a bit.
Yeah.
It was PG-13, but it's a little spicy. Yeah,
it's like, geez, like, even for PG-13, I mean, they're just like slithering around each other's tongues in the limo. I was like, man, what is going on? But the whole extended scene of the limo driver trying to capture footage of them and oh my God, it just got funnier and funnier every time. It's like, that was my first limo driver V sexual in the limo was to my top two notes. Cause the whole time I'm like, geez, I don't know if I can take notes for this movie because it's just a mile a minute and it's all good. So what can I say? But then I started like breaking down. It's like, okay, the limo driver stuff was amazing. Like so funny. Like how it just gets more absurd of like, you know, he finally props up the tripod with like that.
Sure. Like a giant old-timey. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then he's like looking back with his 3D glasses on and stuff. And then they finally realize what he's doing. Oh,
and then he runs outside alongside the limo.
Yeah, oh my God.
On foot.
Yeah, good. So stinking good. When there's a train scene where they're boarding the train and over the overhead announcement saying it's going to like LA and Honolulu. Yeah. Like that kind of stuff you got to pay attention to. So good.
In my notes, okay, so this is cumulative from both the Hot Shots movie, but it activated the memory going back and watching this. I still like when I was a kid watching this, I think my favorite comedic actor was Lloyd Bridges. He's just the funniest.
Dude.
Like does anyone do like I love Leslie Nielsen. I love a lot of those guys and a lot of those parody movies. Lloyd Bridges in the two Hot Shots movies for me, pound for pound, some of the best like deadpan straight man delivery. Oh, also sidebar, in addition to all this other, like, who do they still know? But, like, the George Bush puking on the guy. Like, who's going to get that joke now? Like, stuff like that. But, I mean,
yeah,
Lloyd Bridges is one of the funniest human beings ever to be on camera.
I just, you know, to know I knew Lloyd Bridges as the guy in the parody movies. And he was just, like, he was just one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorites because he was so good. Not just because he was in these movies, but his facial expressions, his timing, his physical comedy, like
he sold the most absurd things as just like just so smooth.
When in Hot Shots 1, when he is looking at that picture of like the tarmac and he's screaming down, it's just genius level comedy of this guy. He's amazing and he sells it so well. Like he just knows what he's doing. I love the guy. I love it. And I love that as a 10-year-old, I could say Lloyd Bridges is the funniest guy I know. You know,
that was me in middle school. I was like, nothing's funnier than Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah, exactly. he's just amazing. And the cast of characters they put around him is a joy that they're all able to lean into this parody, you know, because you're making a movie for like 3 months or whatever. Like how funny can it be every day, all day, every day? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like on take six, is it still hilarious? But I don't know, man, he was special. I've wrote down a lot and I would love to hear some of your favorite bits, but I mean, concept joke wise, one of my favorite things in both movies is the running gag of him as a veteran, like all of like his injuries and the different body part replacements he's had from like all of his different war injuries.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so funny, and
I like it more because to think about, I don't know how to explain this, but to think about the guy who he's playing now, he's the president and he was the admiral before in the first one or whatever, to everybody else, he's just a guy, but to us, he's a buffoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like in world, it's perfectly acceptable that he was a soldier and he like, you know, he lost body parts and he lost like, you know, like he has a metal tube in his head now. I love that concept where to us, it's a comedy, but to in the world that they're in, like,
nobody remarks on it. Yeah.
Nobody remarks on it. It's just like, it's just the way it is. You know, it's just,
it was like, normalcy. He had his tongue replaced by the Basset Hound and he like, he laps the water out of the cup. Like that's so silly. I'm in my mid-30s, and I was like, that's very good. I don't, like, that is good comedy. I don't know what to tell you.
And I mean, the old timers, when he slips down the stairs on the aircraft carrier in the first one, and he says, there's crabs. There's two of them. They work in pairs. Oh, man. So good. Lloyd Bridges.
Do you have any, particularly from these movies, like little lines or quips that like you semi-regularly like throw out and use in your day to day?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I definitely mimic Ramada a lot, like her accent and some of the things she says. I'll say that and nobody knows what the heck I'm talking about. And Lloyd Bridges, I will. I'm trying to think of some of the bits now while I'm doing
it live. It's the best when you throw out a bit from something like Hot Shots out in the wild and like somebody catches it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. That's when you like, you know, you have a connection, you know what I mean? Like it's like, you are my guy now, you're my friend. Cause you know, nobody gets me. Nobody gets these.
I do this more personally, like not like big out in public or in like large social gatherings, but like in small, like I just do this instinctively. Like I'm not like, oh, like I'm going to do a Hot Shots riff. A lot of time, not like literally all the time, but I will often, when like I see a green light somewhere, I'll go green, green, green. And like, like that dumb little joke just buried itself in my head. And like, it can't not come out. Like, I'll just do that sometimes. And I'll be like, oh, well, okay.
That's amazing, because I was cracking up watching it today, because that's one of the ones I always forget. That's like, so it's like brand new to me every time I watch that. I was so dying watching that. When Ramada, in this one, when she, like, I forget if Topper takes off his clothes or his shirt or something, and like Ramada looks down at this dirt, it's like a dirt ground with a pile of clothes on it, and she reaches down and she plucks out this mole, like
she
this
gets the mole.
Like, that's all timer for me. I'm like, how, you know, it's just so amazing that she just plucks out this black mole that's tucked to a black shirt that's tucked to brown dirt. That's all timer for me. This sticks with me forever and ever.
Miguel Ferrer is one of my favorites.
That's one I wanted to, you know, like, when do you think of Miguel Ferrer in a comedy of any kind? Like, he's the guy in RoboCop. He's the dirtbag in RoboCop. Like,
yeah, no, I always think RoboCop and Twin Peaks for him.
Yeah.
And then whenever I see this, I'm like, oh, I just love this man so much. And like, it's not something that's actually funny, but it is very funny. Like the little pep talk that Topper gives his character to like get his head back in the game and battle. And then he gets up, kills a bunch of guys, and then goes war. It's fantastic. Like he's doing like an infomercial. Like,
yeah,
it's so good.
It is so good. Like, and you know, he just, they bring out the comedy in him. Like, when could you ever picture him being funny at all? You know, but he's funny. When they're on the river, going up river, and he's got his like boat crew with him, and they're just getting ready to get boarded by the terrorists, and they have to look busy.
Yeah.
The guy, they have to look like they're fishing, but the guy is terrified to touch a worm.
Yeah, he doesn't want to touch, like, the worms.
The physical comedy in that is amazing. Like the way he sells it on his face, it cracks me up every time, because like, I know, I'm there with you, dude. Like, I used to fish, but now, like, to think about baiting a hook right now, like, I'm a little wimp to think about that. And like the way he was just so squirmy about it and stuff, it cracks me up every time, because he's got to, or, you know, they're in serious trouble, because, you know, they're going to be found out if he doesn't bait that hook and get that line in the water. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he has to do. And he's so scared to do it. He's so scared to touch a worm. I love it.
So with the green light, that before they jump out and do like the paradive to like go to the mission, that's got like three of my favorite jokes like in a row. Well, the green, it's not like, oh, that's hysterical, but it's funny. It just like has always been funny to me, and it just sticks in my head. I love the little throwaway joke of, what's the guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway? I'm dropping his name now. Ryan.
Oh, Ryan Stiles.
Stiles. Charlie Sheen's character has a book, and Ryan's like, oh, what are you reading? He goes, Great Expectations. He goes, what do you think? He goes, it's not everything I hoped for. Like, that's so stupid, but it's so funny. I love it. And then the one I was like, I don't know, can we still laugh at this? But the Geronimo thing I think that's very funny. I was like, that's just his name. I don't feel like that's, for a second I was like, oh, like, is this, I was like, oh, yeah, I think that's still fun to laugh at, where a bunch of the guys all jump out and say Geronimo, and then a Native American jumps out and yells me. Like, that's funny.
God. Oh, man. So sick. I love it.
And like that, and again, that is just nonstop. Like, most comedies will take a minute or two to build up to a punchline. This is just like,
doesn't stop.
It firing off stop. Like rounds left and right, and just lobbing them at you. And you can rewatch these over and over and over, like you said. And,
oh yeah.
And get new, 'cause
it's new. You and between watches, you forget the ones you really loved, and then you find new ones you love. Like, it's just, it hits different every time you watch it. Something else is funny for you, whereas, you know, you might have loved something else before, but it's just like brand new. There's a scene where Topper's getting out of the shower. I just wrote down a line, brushing his hair, but he ends up like in front of a vanity mirror, and he's like brushing his hair, and he looks like little Lord Fauntleroy with his like his wispy hair, and he's like poofy, brushing it. But he even ends up with like this white lacy like shirt that you can only see the very top by his neck, but it just like plays into this role where he's like this little lord and he's brushing his little hair. Oh my God, it's so like the details and the things they think of. God, so, and it's so good.
It's very silly, but I laughed pretty hard again. The I'll kill you till you die from it. That's one that every now and then I'll throw out there. I think once or twice forever, like, somebody's caught that. Like, that's the one I feel like that's a little bit more recognizable. But my friend group in middle school and high school, we quoted this all the time.
Beautiful. That's heartwarming to hear. I love it. I just love, you know, it's fantastic, man. These movies are just amazing. I mean, I took notes and then I stopped taking notes. So it's like, this whole, because this whole movie is, I wrote down the small stuff, because just like, aside from the props and the set dressings, that's so funny. Like, there's Richard Crenna's like tied up to the metal mattress, and they're asking him about his pain. And then he says, I've been married twice. And the guys that are torturing him, they're like, oh, yeah. Like, they like let all this. And it's so funny because it's just like, it's so over the top the way they react, but it's not like funny. Like, it's not crazy over the top. Just like, oh, we know, we're right there with you, dude. Oh yeah. Like, it's so, I keep saying like, and I apologize for your.
That is all right. I sometimes go back and listen to these. That is something I am actively working on, is what the little physical stuff kills me. Like when the guy jumped over the bush and like cut himself. And I think that might've even been a Die Hard joke too. 'Cause I guess that did happen in Die Hard as well. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the insane action at the end, and they used it for the poster, but man, when he shot the chicken arrow, I laughed again. Like, that's a very iconic, silly cartoon joke. It's very funny. And then it lays so an iconic egg.
Yeah. 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 The another Ryan Stiles bit that I love is the physical comedy on his face when Ramada starts ripping her shirt up.
Oh yeah.
His face is amazing. He doesn't do anything but like react to her ripping her shirt up, and he's like, oh, I think I got hurt too in my leg. It won't stop.
He's so silly. She like,
yeah, yeah. His face is amazing. I took this note, maybe you can help me, because I cracked up. But I only wrote down the first part of the quote was when the guy is like screaming into the radio, do not take this literally. I think he starts like screaming about all this stuff that they have to take literally. Like, oh no, he says, do not take this literally. And they're like, the rooster's in the fox's in the hen house. The vultures are circling overhead. And he's like, do not take this literally.
Yeah.
But it's like, so they're all looking up, like, they're all looking up.
He's like, yeah, vultures. We got a couple of gulls, but I don't know.
It's so funny. He's like, but he tries to preface it, do not take this literally.
Just nonstop, very good jokes. I was also thinking about Lloyd Bridges because of the little making of spoof. Even when the camera is super zoomed out, when they do that president's bit where they're breaking new ground with all the old presidents, and he's just wrecking shop and takes them all out with the shuffle on accident. Like, that is the physical comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to beat someone getting hit in the face with something like that. Actually, do you know what? One of the hardest, like, I forgot about this. I didn't write this down, But what got like the loudest explosion of laughter from me was when Lloyd Bridges was in Air Force One. And like, I forget what happened, but like he got bad news and he hit the fork and it went into his aide's head. And just the sound effect of like fork going into flesh and the crazy exaggerated scream from the aide who the fork lands in his head. Like that killed me.
Yeah.
Like I went back and I watched it I watched it three times in a row and I kept laughing at it. He's like, oh no. And he's like, oh, like it's very funny.
When he, when his elderly old wife walks into the Oval Office and he starts to accost her.
Saboteur.
Yeah. And then they're like, no, that's your wife, Mr. President. And then he like grabs her by the arm one last time and he says, find out what she knows. And he like comes around the room. His face in that moment, I died.
When he has the little, like the old, like the, not the viewfinder, but the little kid's toy when he's going at himself and he's looking at Mount Rushmore in it, talking about the Iraqi coastline. I was just like, I can't help but smile.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe it's because I've watched it probably 40, 50 times, but it's,
yeah,
it's good stuff. I miss this type of thing.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I miss it. And I don't think for one second that it would be something new would be lost on us. I think because it's so forever, you know, like this style of comedy, obviously we love. So I don't think because we're older and we see something new now that it would be lost on us. But also went upon earlier. I just, you know, you just don't know if something like this is even viable nowadays.
Well, it has to be so specific. I actually just had the thought now. I think really the only thing comparable is Popstar, but that was very specific in the pop music world. But like that was, again, joke.
Yeah.
Very funny. Like even if you only had like a 70-80% hit rate with the jokes, like that was... But that was it had to be in a very specific, like it was in the realm of pop music, because I feel like pop music is a lot easier to kind of contain your jokes.
Hone in on, yeah.
They were doing like Usher and Macklemore and Justin Bieber jokes and all that, because that's something ubiquitous enough that we can all kind of get behind. I feel like it would be very hard to do with film or television.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just
if they did.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if they could nail that again, for sure. I think maybe the only, you know, maybe like some of the David Wayne stuff in The State and, you know, like the Wet Hot American Summer, like you still kind of got that going on, but it's still more like just more general slapsticky and they're not parodying.
Oh, actually, let me check. Okay. So on Max right now. Are you familiar? I would love it if I got to introduce this to you if you've never heard of it before. Have you heard of the short-lived, I think there's about three or four seasons. I think it initially aired on TBS, but then somebody else took it. Steve Carell was the showrunner who created it. Angie Tribeca with Rashida Jones?
I never watched it, but I know it. I know of it.
Add it to your watch list. Throw it on sometime if you're walking on the treadmill or doing chores or something.
Okay.
That was good. Every now and then, I didn't watch it through its entirety, but like I think it came out in the 2010s, but I was like, but it had like a plot. It was just silly gags. It did some references, but it was also referencing like your NCIS and Blue Bloods. Like it was riffing on stuff like that, but that was a funny show.
Okay. Yeah. Done.
I hope it's not terrible. I should check that out again. But I was like, that was very much in the Zucker Abrams vein of naked. Like that definitely felt like people who love the Naked Gun, Hot Shots type stuff doing their own thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. That's all right. I'm going to check it out then. I'm putting it on my list.
I hope you don't hate it. Any other thoughts on the Hot Shots franchise there?
I think we covered it. I think holistically from a high level, I think we did a good job. I was worried about what the heck we were going to talk about, you know, even though I love it so much, you know, what can you like talk about? But really from a certain point of view, it's really special and it's really meaty in terms of what it brought to an audience. And it was perfect for the time where you could be young or old and still know most of the stuff that it was picking on just because of the narrow scope of pop culture at the time, even if you didn't see the stuff they're parodying. I mean, I think we're probably perfect for it, age for it, because it was impressionable to us when you see it at the right time as a young person, and you know, like forever in my heart.
Yeah, but
forever in my heart, this stuff.
The two main like threads of the movie are riffing on Rambo and Casablanca, like
yeah,
and that made $135 million at the box office. Yep. Like. Unthinkable.
Yeah, people are just ready.
Unthinkable. Like, would that even make $20 million now? I don't know.
I know. Would it even premiere on Prime Video?
Exactly.
Thank you for inviting me on to talk about Hot Shots, because it really like help exercise some yearnings that I've had to just talk about this on a level where it's just meaningful. Even though it's silly, it's meaningful. And I think you know what I mean.
Well, and I also realized, this is for me, I don't know how much of this I'm going to track down. I didn't know Valeria Galeno was still working. I was like, I was in love with this woman when I was a young boy, and I thought she just disappeared. She's done a lot of stuff, and I just hadn't seen darn near any of it.
I know. I googled her today too to find out where my where my crush was. Because,
I mean, both of the female leads in Part Two were left an impression.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. I mean, especially you know the one that's got her bra like in the back of that limo, touching tongues with Charlie Sheen. Jeez. Yeah. Valeria Galeno though is beautiful. She was with Benicio del Toro during this time. Wow.
Was she?
Yeah. 88 to 92. Amazing.
Listeners, if you got any strong performances from her that you recommend, let me know. Oh, she was in Frida. I've seen that, but I remember her in these movies and Escape from LA, and in my head, like, that's all she's in.
I like Bruce Campbell's book, If Chins Could Kill. I think it's in one of Bruce Campbell's books about his time on Escape from LA.
Oh, yeah, the Surgeon General. Mm-hmm. Bruce Campbell was a big internet thing for me. And like, he had The Evil Dead, he had a couple of things, and then when the internet came out, like, it really helped him. Like,
oh, 100%. Yeah.
Not necessarily level up, but like, cash in on the genre fame.
Yep. Completely. You're completely right. I mean, the internet, what did the internet do for cons and getting eyes on cons and him like having a whole segment at every Wizard World that existed? You know what I mean? Like, he got his own game show and all that. Like,
yeah, there's a time. I watched a couple episodes of that on Tubi.
Through it. I mean, like, the dude just king. He's king for a lot of people.
And I think by now it will have been announced. So plug, if folks are still listening, I will be on the season 2 finale of 70 Millimeter Rejected covering The Evil Dead.
Whoa!
We're recording that in the next week, I believe.
Boy, I can't wait to listen to that. I liked your previous episode that you were on. I think were you on one other episode? It was really good.
I've been on 3, and they happened to be 3 in a row. They were the final 2 episodes of season 1 and the premiere of season 2. I think the last one I did, it was either the Linklater Before movie or 500 Days of Summer. I think it was 500 Days of Summer.
500 Days of Summer
was the last
one
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Them. Okay, maybe that's why I thought you were on just one, because they were all together and I binged them all at once.
Nice. Yeah, we did. I did The Lion King, Before, Sunrise, and 500 Days of Summer.
500 Days, yeah, that's the one. That was a great episode. Wow, The Evil Dead. Amazing.
So good.
I'm excited to listen. If I haven't listened already by the time.
So we haven't recorded it yet. We're going to record it soon. This is coming out April 1st. This is going to be a tight turn. Dale, I know this is a very a light and fun episode, but one of the segments we do on the show typically is substance shout out. So it doesn't have to be terribly substantive. I know you've got your Bat and Spider, but what have you been watching, listening to, reading? What has been something that you've just enjoyed or was really fun that you want to commend to people? If you got a couple things that you've really enjoyed lately that you want to say, hey, check this out, stream it, listen to this, watch this, let's read that.
Wow, I was not prepared, but I guess I have a couple things I could maybe talk about. First up is a book.
So you got something handy right there
called The Plants of Middle Earth.
Okay.
And It is, it's not too weighty. It's a good length, but it's like all about, you're right. It's like 105 pages, but nice. It's like, it's all about the flora of Middle Earth. That's all it is. That's it talks about most of the plants that Tolkien described in the different lands, like the different sections of Middle Earth that Frodo and Sam and the Fellowship find themselves in, and why he might have included that, and why Ithilien is equates to like this part of England, and that's why you'll see all these very real plants, as well as like some of the plants that Tolkien made up and probably their like real life counterpart inspirations and stuff like that. I bought it because I'm doing some like research for something else, but I'm find myself really enjoying it. And there's like some sketches in there and stuff of like what you might see to help put it in your head, like when Tolkien describes it in the books.
Sounds like gentle, fun reading.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's not too demanding and just kind of relaxing. And
exactly.
And you get to spend time in a world that you know and love, but also, yeah, that seems like a nice
it's not weighty. It's not weighty. There's another book that I got that I just went right to the Athelas, King's Foil, but it's like a lot thicker and it is a lot, weightier. And I don't know if I'm going to make it through that, but that's got like a lot more illustration in it, so I'm using that for something else. But Masters of Air, can I plug Masters of Air? Has that been plugged yet on the show?
That's Apple TV.
Apple TV, yeah. It's based on a book that a pilot of B-17 or a navigator of B-17 wrote, and about his experiences in the war and his time in the B-17, along with all the people that he knew, all the people that had passed away in combat, and it's really well done. It's hard to kind of look past the star power, I guess, of Austin Butler.
Austin Butler's so hot right now.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to say he sucks the oxygen out of the room when he's on with his, raspy, gravelly voice and his, hair. His I don't know if it was even hair like that in World War II, but you can't help but like look past and think like, what Austin Butler, what does he think about when he's trying to act as this true real hero? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Does he feel like minuscule, like he could never do that? That's what I like, it's going through my head. I mean, it's a very well done series, and visually it's really well done.
I've seen the trailers. I haven't watched it yet. I've heard Danny and Proto and a lot of the people in the Discord and the television channel talk about how great it is.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the trailers. It looks expensive, but I haven't
exactly
checked it out yet.
It looks expensive, and I think it was all spent wisely, I think, as it really looks great. But some of it is like real, Band of Brothers is like boots on the ground kind of stuff, and so is the Pacific. Mm-hmm. This is like, they don't pull any punches in what happened when a B-17 got ripped apart by flak or by, enemy planes and stuff like that. So it's, it's like sobering in that sense. And also, it tells a story from beginning to end. I don't know how much of the book is like that, whereas the book is maybe just like, sections in time with like vocal, like spoken like
oral histories.
Yeah. But Spielberg and Tom Hanks at it again. It's very well done.
And there's a little documentary, kind of like the Band of Brothers stuff that they peppered in, right? Like some of the real guys. Didn't Apple put that out as well after show wrapped?
Yeah, I actually, I mean to get to that this week because I just finished Masters of Air. So now I can watch like the real deal.
Now, when I turn Apple back on, I've got to list the stuff. I have.
Mm-hmm. You got to hit it hard so you can get it all in.
Yeah. I'll probably turn it back on when Shrinking Season 2 comes back. I really wanted to get to Monarch. I might just, if I get a free month, Monarch looks awesome.
Yeah, I heard that's really good. I just got Apple TV myself, so I'm
too much content. Just like we said, there's too much. Like,
it's too much.
Every week, like five full seasons of television, it feels like drops.
Yeah,
and you
exactly
got to pick
right.
what you want to watch.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Excellent. And I'll say thank you to you. I've talked about this on the show a little bit. Not a lot, because that's not exactly the type of show we do. But since this one's a lot loosey-goosier, this year I'm doing a spaghetti western journey. and Compañeros is
dude,
towards the top. I think that's on my rank. I think that's on my third favorite right now. Like, that was a beautiful blast.
Yeah, Compañeros was, opened up my
that
eyes.
That theme song is stuck in my head.
Oh, dude. Legitimately, if I listen to a Spotify, you know, made for me playlist and that comes on, I have to listen to it in like four times in a row, minimum.
Good.
I'm glad you had that reaction to Compañeros, because it opened up my eyes and I'm like I really hit some spaghetti westerns hard because of that. I just, you know, I never really spent time focusing on it, but it was entertaining. It was funny. It was beautiful. You know, it's really like a genre that needs to be looked at if you haven't looked into it before.
Yeah, I've been watching a ton of spaghetti westerns. Not a lot of them are funny. That was just a blast.
Right. Yeah, that's like special case.
Yeah, no, that's one I'm definitely going to be returning to. So that was you and Yoli and maybe someone else in the Discord. But yeah, that was I think the guy in the Discord actually who recommended I watch Compañeros hadn't even watched it yet. I think I don't know if Spaghetti and Freddy's covered that yet, but I think he saw Yoli's rating and your rating. And then he's like, Phil, you might like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, that's one of my favorite movies I've watched this year.
Yeah. 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 I don't know if it was Cablasto or what. That's great.
It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, Dale, it's been great. Appreciate your show. And it's been getting fun hanging out with you in the Discord and getting to talk some hot shots with you here for April Fool's Day.
Yeah, happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Philip, I appreciate you inviting me on for this. I'm glad I could do it. I'm glad we could talk hot shots together. I really appreciate
pleasure.
The invite.
Maybe sometime we'll have you back for a more substantive conversation. But I feel like even for being kind of a jokey, like unsubstantive, there was still a little bit. I mean, it was more the appreciation of craft, I guess, rather than substance. But
Right? Maybe
we'll have you back on for something a little bit more meaty next time.
Right. I'd be happy to do it.
Boom. Cut. So there you have it. That was my conversation with Dale on Hot Shots Part 2. Such a fun movie. So glad to revisit it. If you haven't watched it before and you're interested in seeing it, it is currently streaming on Hulu. And that Hearts of Hot Shots documentary is on YouTube. I will have links for the documentary in the show notes. If you're interested in looking through our back catalog of substantive cinema episodes, I'll have a Letterboxd list of all the films we've covered. We've had great guests like Josh Larson from Film Spotting, Mike White from the Projection Booth podcast, John Carroll Lynch, an actor some of you may know. He came and talked about a movie he directed. And if things go according to plan, Mitchell may be returning soon here on the show. So that was a lot of fun. Happy April Fools. Hope nobody got you too bad with any internet jokes or things like that. If you like The Substance, if you enjoy the show, follow it, hit that follow button. I haven't talked about this in forever. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, follow the show. It's free. If you want to pay and support, you can do that at Patreon. You can sign up for as little as $3 a month and support the show, get the video, get a chance to vote for topics on future episodes. But if you just want to help the show and show your support, share this episode on social media, follow the show so you get notifications about new episodes that come out. And since this is a bonus episode, you can look for a new episode very soon. This coming Sunday will be my conversation with Courtney Ellis on her wonderful new book, Looking Up, about birding and faith and grief. And it was a wonderful book. It's a wonderful conversation. Returning guest. It was fun to kind of catch up with her after it had been so long. And you can look forward to that here very soon. I've been your host, Philip Marinello, and we hope to see you again next time on The Substance. These are dumb movies.
Dude, I admire your courage and you're just touching tongues with Charlie Sheen. That's an amazing observation. I keep saying and I apologize for you.
And all of like,
just like, you know, like, are they stereotyping, you know, like, is this like dancing on territory?
Like terrorists?
Yeah, exactly. Like, or is that okay? Like, yeah, exactly.
That's like in the span of like 15 seconds.